Welcome to the Sunday AM podcast. We are a church located at the Carrick Centre in Ballincollig. Join us for prayer, praise, teaching and fellowship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. It's lucky that I'm actually here to preach this morning because I nearly lost my life. I went into the prayer room this morning to plug in my laptop and Sarah Louise was in there under a blanket sleeping. So, like, congratulations to everybody who made it through the youth thing. And I didn't see her, and then she moved, and I nearly hit the roof. I got such a fright. And I'm sure I scared the life out of her, too, the poor thing, and interrupted her nap. So here we are, alive and well. Okay, so Romans chapter 10. Thanks, Charlie, for reading that for us. I just want to read it to you, if you don't mind, in the Message version for a second. Let me just... I'm pressing buttons. It doesn't. Oh, look, there you go. And, oh. Are you doing it or am I doing it? I don't know, I've got this thing. Oh, yeah, okay. Is that it? Did I do it? Oh, yeah, lights are on now. Okay, here we go. So I'm just going to read this slide to you. So this is Romans chapter 10, verses 4 to 17 in the Message, and side by side is the NIV. So just for any of you who don't know, I'm Jody. I'm a member of this church family, and the Message Bible is like a paraphrase of the Bible written by Eugene Peterson. And sometimes it's just very helpful to understand and unpack what the scriptures are saying. I find it so, particularly for this verse passage. Okay, so it says, but how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away, grand processions of people telling all the good news, the good things of God. This is where in the NIV it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I love Eugene Peterson, but I don't think he can put it better than that. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asked what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, then there's nothing to listen to. I think there's so much of interest in this passage for us on many different layers. One of the layers that I want to look at today is the state of our broken world and the difficulty that people have and that I have and that you have just making it through life day to day. And for many of us who know the Lord, we are in a very blessed and privileged position this morning that we have a person, a God, whom we can trust, who we can call out to and ask for help. But there's so many people in this world who need to call out for help, but they just don't know where to call to. They don't know if they can trust the God that is preached by the Christian church for many reasons, and some of them good reasons. And so I think this passage calls us back to the beauty of the gospel, the fact that the story that we live in and that we are invited to tell others about is a good and beautiful story, that the God that we serve is a God that we can trust, to offer it in a way that is beautiful, but also to remind ourselves that we are a part of a beautiful story, and that we have a God who loves us and cares about us. So I have to remember to change these slides on my computer and for you guys too. So a call for help. How can we call for help when we don't know who to call to? And I don't know if any of you know who M. Byhold is. She's a musician and a singer, and I really like her. And she has this song called Numb Little Bug. And I wanted to play Numb Little Bug for you this morning, but I can't because we're streaming it, so it's illegal. But you can go and listen to Numb Little Bug on your Spotify after this. I wanted to play the song for you because when you hear M. Byhold sing it, she has this almost trite, honesty in her voice about the state of herself and life that I think I can relate to, and I'm sure many of you can relate to too. But I'm going to read you the chorus of her song. And the chorus of her song says, I just want to see if you feel the same way as me. Do you ever get a little bit tired of life? Like you're not really happy, but you don't want to die. Like you're hanging by a thread, but you've got to survive, because you've got to survive. Like your body's in the room, but you're not really there. Like you have empathy inside, but you don't really care. Like you're fresh out of love, but it's been in the air, and my past to repair. And I know that I have felt many of these ways on different days of my life. And recently, in recent months, I'm struggling with major anxiety where I have often felt like my body is in the room, but I'm not really there. I'm in a room in my head somewhere freaking out about something that nobody else around me can see. And Em talks a lot about what she calls quick repairs to cope, medication and things like that. And as a person who struggles with anxiety, I am on medication and I am so grateful for anti-anxiety meds that have helped me in my life. But in some sense, Em describes them as quick repairs to cope. And of course, medication, while it is so wonderful and I am so grateful for it, it cannot address the existential issues that cause me concern. And that's where I find that having a God who I can trust, who I can cry to for help in these moments, is something that I am just so grateful for, and I want to offer that. I want to invite others to come into this beautiful reality that we all live in. And it's not a reality that takes all your problems away or it takes your anxiety away necessarily, but it is a great comfort during difficult seasons. This song is over 4 million downloads on Spotify. And so when Em says, I just want to see if anybody feels the same way as me, we know at least there's like 4 million people who are feeling this way, and I bet there's many people in this room who are feeling that way too. And so I guess for those of us who know the Lord, I want to remind you of the beauty of what we are a part of this morning. And for those of you who don't, I want to be those feet that bring the good news and tell you about it. I did that thing again, right? Oh, that's the song. Yep, there we go. That's the passage. Okay, so we know that the Christian church globally is reducing, that people are, all the censuses and stuff say that, you know, there's this phrase, the rise of the nuns. People on the census forms, when they fill out what religion are you, they just say none, the rise of the nuns. So we know that there is a big rise of the nuns. People are not claiming Christianity as their faith anymore. People are sort of walking away from faith. Matthew Arnold has this poem, and it's called The Sea of Faith. And he talks about the tide of faith retreating from the shores of Britain. And he calls it the long and melancholy roar of the tide going out. And we're sort of living in that reality right now. But the thing about the tide of faith retreating is that wave is going to turn and come back in. And in some ways, even though we're living in the rise of the nuns right now, I do believe that there is a turn, and that in some ways people are returning to faith and have an openness and a willingness to maybe try Christianity. You know, people search in many different places for a place that they can call to for help, for a God that they can trust. And I do think that as the Christian church, we have an opportunity to open our doors to people who are searching, and maybe in a way that we haven't before. There is a new openness. I teach sociology up in UCC, so I teach tutorials to undergraduates during the week. So like 10 tutorials a week with about 50 undergraduates in it. That's a big portion that I get to kind of sample. And I see a huge openness to spirituality in the young people. Now, that's not necessarily directed towards Christianity. It could be like to go on a meditation retreat down to West Cork at the weekend or something, mindfulness, things like that. But nonetheless, this openness is there. And I do believe that as members of God's kingdom, of his beautiful upside down kingdom, a part of what we are called to do now is to be the feet of those who bring good news and to take some of this interest and sort of direct it towards the truth of the gospel. There is a poem by T.S. Eliot, and I'm just going to read this verse to you. The poem is sort of about going out and searching the world for truth and beauty, and in the end, realizing that it was always there in your home the whole time. He says, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started, through the unknown, remembered gate, when the last of earth left to discover is that which was the beginning. At the source of the longest river, the voice of the hidden waterfall and the children in the apple tree, not known because not looked for, but heard, half heard in the stillness between two waves of the sea." And I think in many ways we're in between two waves of the sea now, with the tide turning and the opportunity to bring our faith in a new way coming in. And we realize that people have gone and they have searched and they have looked and they have embraced sort of secular humanism and yet they feel empty and hungry. And there is an opportunity for us to open the gate of Christianity again, to remind them, to bring them back into the familiar and say, actually, there's so much richness here, so much beauty. Come in, we invite you in. Come and take a look. Come and start a conversation. Because all the searching, you know, scripture tells us that when we search for the Lord with all our hearts, we will find him. And a lot of that searching will bring us back through the garden gate of Christianity to this beautiful truth, which is a truth that stands up to all the other stories and truths out there. But a part of our job is to be the feet of those who bring good news and to present it in a way that is true to its beautiful nature. Okay. So what is the story then? What is the beautiful story that we are bringing? I have three slides to tell you the whole story of the gospel, so no bother. And this is just an overview, a reminder for us that what we believe is truly beautiful. Oh, I have a visitor. It's truly beautiful, truly beautiful. You're in agreement. So if we think about the Christian story, let's start in Genesis. And let's think about God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. Isn't that a beautiful image? God walking with you and with me through life. I love this image with God on our shoulder, you know, guiding us gently, directing us, laying down a path before us, being in conversation with us. Where should I go now? What should I do now? How do I speak to this person? How do I use the gifts that you've given me to share this beautiful story with my life every day? And so God is walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, and it's a beautiful ideal for us to hold on to. But we look at the world right now, and we realize, it doesn't take much to realize, that everything seems wrong. Everywhere you look, it seems like broken and destroyed. And you know, you feel you have to search to find beauty in this world, and of course it is still there. But there is so much pain and so much destruction. And the Bible acknowledges this. The way the Bible describes this broken reality in which we live is through the idea of a fall, that there was an ideal that God had created, that it was us walking with God in the garden, conversing with God, having access to God in such an intimate way, and this is somehow destroyed. Destroyed through the fall, through sin, through choosing us human beings, choosing to do things our own way and not God's. And so as Christians, we acknowledge everything seems wrong. The world is broken and painful, and we grieve with those who grieve, and we acknowledge in our own lives the struggles that we have too. But oh, look, that was my everything seems wrong slide. But our story, and I mean, so interesting that Katie brought up that about the questions, because of course, that is a huge question. That is the question for me. Why does everything seem so broken? Why is there so much pain? Why are there people today who are returning to homes that are utterly destroyed? Suffering, death, loss, all of these things do make us question. But I want to invite you into the beauty of the story that we believe. And the story that we believe includes restoration, redemption, and reconciliation. We walked with God in the garden. We had intimacy with him, and then everything went wrong. But God didn't leave it that way, and he came to earth, became a man, and he entered into the suffering of humanity. He suffered, and he died. And through that suffering and death, and through that experience of living as a man, and through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he made a way for us to one day return to that ideal, to that walking with God in the garden. And in the meantime, which is where we're living now, between the two waves, in the meantime, we can enter personally into this reality. The curtain in the temple that separated the presence of God from humanity was torn when Jesus died, allowing us to have union with God again. And importantly, I think, a God who is good, a God who we can trust. How can you call out to a God who you have, who you wonder about? Are you really good? Why do you let all these things happen? Can I trust you? This story, the story that we are a part of as Christians, reminds us and reassures us, yes, God is good, and he has made a plan. And we acknowledge that there are pain and suffering. I want to read you a scripture. Yeah. That there is pain and suffering, and that we suffer and that we cry tears. But God says in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And this is our hope. We have a God now who is good, and we know he's good because one day he will restore everything. He will wipe the tears from our eyes, and we will know the ideal reality that he once created and that was destroyed. That is a good God, and we can trust him, and we can trust him now when we are living in situations that are difficult and when we have pain. He walks with us even now with his arm around our shoulder, guiding us through life and directing us. And when it's hard, he is walking with us. A number of years ago, when I was really struggling with this question, I was in church, and somebody had like a word, you know, from God, and they kind of said it out loud. And the only line that I remember of what they said is, "I am with them in the shadows." And at the time, I was really, really, I think it was when the Syria war was happening, and I don't know if you remember that picture of that child in Aleppo in the ambulance, all covered in dust and blood. And it was like the age of my children at that time, you know, and you superimpose the face of your own child onto that child. And my heart was broken. And I thought, you know, where are you with them? And this word really comforted my heart to say, I am with them. I am with them in the shadows. God is not turning a blind eye to the suffering that is happening in this world. He is with them. He is walking with every person who is in pain. And his arms are wide open to receive them. And that is our part, guys. We have to be the feet of those who bring good news. However we do that, maybe you are a creative. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're a tech person, you know, maybe you're a scientist. However it is that you use the gifts that God has given you to live a life that shows that we have a God who we can trust. And we are a part of a beautiful story, a story of restoration, of healing. If we think about secular humanism, and if we decide that there is no God, the tears that are cried just mean nothing. They will disappear into eternity and end in a heat death. And they will just be forgotten. But if we are a part of this beautiful story, no tear shed is forgotten, because every tear will be wiped away. The pain will be acknowledged, the suffering will be acknowledged, and we will receive healing. And to a certain extent, we can receive healing now through being with Christ, but we know that we have a greater hope of total restoration that Revelation tells us about. And that's a beautiful story to be a part of. And if the story is beautiful, then we need to present it in a way that is beautiful, so that people will want to be a part of it. Blaise Pascal says this. He's a philosopher. He said, "Men despise religion. They hate it and fear it is true." And you can understand this, right? If all people ever hear is judgment and hellfire and brimstone and things like that, of course they're going to fear that's true. To remedy this, we must begin by showing that religion is not contrary to reason, certainly not, that it is venerable, to inspire respect for it. Do we live lives and interact with people in a way that would inspire respect for the story that we believe? Then we must make it lovable, to make good men hope it is true. Do we present the gospel, or, like I say, live out the gospel or experience the gospel in a way that others would hope it is true? And finally, we must show them that it is true. If we believe a story that when people hear it, they would think, "Oh my goodness, can that be true? Is there a story that acknowledges the brokenness in this world and presents a restorative, healing truth that we can step into?" And then we get the opportunity to say to them, "Yes, there is. And yes, it is. And you are invited into this story." Okay, so the final few verses of the passage in Romans chapter 10 says, "But haven't there been plenty of opportunities for Israel to listen and understand what's going on?" Plenty, I'd say. Preachers' voices have gone around the world, their message to Earth's seven seas. So the big question is, why didn't Israel understand that she had no corner on this message? Moses had it right when he predicted, "When you see God, reach out to those you consider inferiors, your inferiors, outsiders. You'll become insanely jealous. When you see God, reach out to people you think are religiously stupid. You'll throw temper tantrums." Isaiah dared to speak out these words of God. "People found and welcomed me who never so much as looked for me, and I found and welcomed people who had never even asked about me." Then he capped it with a damning indictment. "Day after day after day, I beckoned Israel with open arms and got nothing from my trouble but cold shoulders and icy stares." When the gospel went out to the Gentiles, Israel had a reaction to that. If you read the book of Hebrews, you will see that there was a lot of consternation around whether people had to be circumcised, whether they could eat different foods, you know, that may not have been kosher for Israel, for the Israelites and the Jews. And they had different meetings about this. The Jerusalem Council, where like Paul and Peter and the different disciples all kind of hashed out this thing. And that is partly what this passage is referring to. The reaction of Jewish people when they saw the gospel going out to the world. Their God, the one they owned, you know, and they became insanely jealous and they rejected the gospel. And God is saying, "I told you over and over and over again." And they didn't want to know about it. Okay, so that's the kind of biblical context, but for us, those who are maybe insiders, those who have been in the faith for however many years, we have to think very carefully about how we look at the world and how we think about the gospel message. Because what can happen and what is happening around the world is that Christians are seeing the world as a threat. The world is changing rapidly and they don't understand what's going on. And it becomes scary. The things that are occurring in the world right now become scary. And Christians can begin to feel embattled, like their views and their values are under attack. And they can become insanely jealous. They can throw temper tantrums, that's what Paul says. And I want to encourage us not to do that, not to be that. The world is a confusing place, and it is changing rapidly. And different social constructs and structures that have been very, very familiar to us don't seem familiar anymore, and it's a head scratcher, and you're kind of wondering what's going on. We got to breathe in and breathe out and relax and understand that God has everything under control. And remember, those people who confuse us and who we don't understand and who we might be tempted to build up walls against or to try to protect ourselves from are those people whom God is desperate to use our feet to bring good news to. He loves them. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. He isn't drawing boundaries or rules around who can come in and be a part of this beautiful invitation, this beautiful story that I've told you about. And like Blaise Pascal says, we have to show that this is a lovable story, a beautiful story. For who? For everyone. For everyone. That's people on the other side of the political spectrum to you. That's people who you deeply, deeply disagree with, maybe the way that they are living their lives. It doesn't mean that you can't hold your values, but it also doesn't mean that you cannot choose to live in a way that isn't loving and open and invitational to these people. That's our job as the church. Day after day, I beckoned Israel with open arms and got nothing from my trouble but cold shoulders and icy stares. We do not want to be living in that reality. We want to allow Jesus to wrap his arms around us and to invite us in again to this beautiful story, and we want to offer that invitation to others. So who is the story for? It's for everyone. How wonderful. I won't read this all, but there is a story in Luke 14, 15 to 24, where a certain man was preparing a big banquet, and he invited loads of people to come, like friends and people, insiders, I guess we could say, and they were all too busy. One of them, you know, had to like, they'd bought a field and they were doing something with that, and some of them had an yoke of oxen they had to do something with, and another one said, I can't get married, I can't come, I just got married, I can't come. And they're too busy to be invited into this beautiful banquet, this beautiful story that we are a part of. Maybe they'll get back to it, you know, maybe another time. Maybe once I get this thing over with, I will pay attention again. But the person throwing the banquet, the certain man throwing the banquet, didn't react well to that. Actually, he became angry and he said, you know what? I am throwing my arms open here. I am inviting you in. I have laid a banquet before you on this table. It is a beautiful story, the most beautiful story. And I want you to come in, but if you're not going to, then I'm extending this invitation to everybody. And so they went out into the highways and the byways and the fields, and invited everybody else until the table was full. And the table was full. How wonderful. but people missed out on that because they were too busy. We are invited into this beautiful story, and it is sad if we are a part of it and we cannot see its beauty, and we do not get to partake in the comfort of it because we are just racked with fear of the world, fear of others, fear of those on the outside, or because we don't truly trust the goodness of God. And so I hope that this morning is a reminder that God can be trusted. He is a good God. He wrote a beautiful story, and we are a part of that restorative, healing, redemptive story. It's for us, and it's for us to extend out to others, to everybody. Okay, so the final verse of that M by Hold song, she says, "I'm a little bit tired of sinking. There's water in my boat. I'm barely breathing, trying to stay afloat. So I've got these quick repairs to cope. Guess I'm just broken and broke." And so often we can just turn to quick repairs. We sort of just leave God out of the story, and we figure out coping mechanisms. And some coping mechanisms are very healthy and good. I'm not saying there's anything bad with that. But what I am saying, and what I hope I'm saying, is that I am reminding us we have something that is beyond just a quick repair, beyond just a coping mechanism. We have the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story into which we have decided to inhabit. We have put our lives into this story, and it is such a comfort, and it is such a source of strength. And don't forget about it. Don't keep running around to the quick repairs. Jesus is reaching his hand down to pull us up into this beautiful story again and comfort our hearts and inspire us with creativity to bring it to others. Okay, so this is the invitation then for you guys. The story that we are a part of, the beautiful message of the gospel, is not a quick repair. Often it's slow. It's a life lived with God. It's a journey with God. It's a feast, a table to join him at. And today we're having Bring and Share lunch. And this is the perfect opportunity to make sure that your eyes are open. See the people around you. Invite them to come and sit with you. Be friendly. Be open. Extend this beautiful invitation even now, even today, when we set up tables and feast and sit and get to know each other more. Remember, this is a part of living out this beautiful story of the gospel and being the feet of those who bring good news. It's a conversation that we're invited into with God. And sometimes it's a struggle. A few weeks ago, actually at the last Bring and Share lunch, I was talking to Bill, and he reminded me that when God named Israel, Israel means to struggle or to wrestle with God. And sometimes this long, slow journey with the Lord does feel like a struggle, does feel like we're wrestling a little bit. And God's fine with that. He named Israel, Israel. He's still with you in it. He won't leave you, and he won't get offended by your questions. It's not quick, it's slow. It's a journey. It's a feast. It's a conversation. And sometimes it's a struggle. But in accepting his invitation is a promise of restoration, purpose, comfort, courage, and creativity in the time span of eternity. What a joy. And I do encourage you to accept his invitation, or at the very least, start a conversation with him. He's here for it. He wants to talk to you. He is patient and full of compassion for you. He is a person that you can call to for help, who is trustworthy. And for those who have already accepted, a reminder, the invitation we hold, the one that we are to extend to others, is beautiful. Extend it generously, always being led by the precious gift of the Holy Spirit within us. I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the beautiful story that you wrote, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you acknowledge that it is broken, but that you made a way for restoration. Lord, we are grateful that we have you in our lives to turn to. You are our comfort, our guide, our helper, our God, the one we worship and adore, Lord. And Lord, we just take a moment in our hearts to thank you that we're insiders in the story for those of us who are. And Lord, as insiders, as those who inhabit this story, we also ask you now to help us to extend the invitation to those who we meet, Lord, those in our lives, and that we would be led by your Holy Spirit in how we do that, through friendship, through hospitality, through welcoming the outsiders, the strangers, the travelers, Lord, the people who are just stopping by to see, to check out what this thing might be about, Lord. Open our hearts to the world. May we not fear it. May we not hate it, Lord. May we have your heart of compassion and love for all of those, even those we just don't understand, Lord. And help us to extend your beautiful gospel story to them, Lord, so that they too can come in and inhabit it. Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know our lives, and you are directing and guiding us. So Lord, direct us and guide us to those who have open hearts, Lord, soft hearts. Help us to extend your love and your grace, your friendship, your kindness, your goodness, and your upside down kingdom values everywhere we can and to everyone we can, Father. And we just really commit this morning now to see the story with fresh eyes and to choose to open our eyes once again to our role in being the feet of those who bring good news. Guide us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you would like to know more about the Sunday AM service, visit our website at www.cupcork.ie or follow us on Instagram at Sunday AM Cup Cork. Our church services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Carrig Centre in Ballincollig.